Why do people kill? Have you ever asked yourself that? Well, I have. Join Take 411 as we explore the life of serial killers, the making of murderers. Did something happen to this person when they were a child? What happened? Where did things go wrong? Will their children be the same way? So many questions and not enough answers. Let's see what we can find together. When you think about people incarcerated across the United States, over 2 million people, which is enough to be a whole community. Why are so many people in prison? How many in prison are serial killers? Wouldn't you like to know?
Hello, everyone. This is Alexis with Take 411. Today's episode is going to be a little different. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Tawanda. Tawanda, you there?
I'm here, but I'm not sure what you're turning over to me.
Okay. Well.
Alex, what are you turning over to me?
The show. Would you like to tell our guests about serial killers?
About your show? Oh, I have no idea. I came to learn and listen.
Okay.
You told me a few weeks ago that you're a documentary connoisseur when it comes to the psychology and understanding. So I want to understand.
Yeah.
So I'm here.
So, serial killers, by definition, according to the FBI, right, they have to have murdered more than two people in separate instances. For example, if somebody were to murder four people in the same instance, that's not a serial killer. That's a murderer. If somebody murdered four people and they did it four separate times, that's a serial killer, right? Serial killers have made national news. We've all heard about them. The Golden Gate Killer, the cop living out west who murdered people. We've heard of Ted Bundy, who attacked women in the 80s. We've heard of the Green River Killer. And probably most famous of all is Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper originated in London, and he murdered prostitutes. And it was believed that he was a doctor because he basically mutilated his victims and such in a way that it led detectives to believe he was a doctor. But Jack the Ripper has never been identified. He was never arrested for any of his crimes. They had suspicions, but they were never able to concretely accuse one person. You've heard of the Zodiac Killer. We've heard of so many horrible crimes and so many serial killers. And as Tawanda said in our special intro, why? Why do people kill and why do people murder? Did something happen in their childhood that triggered this? Do they all come from bad homes, troubling childhoods? What are the signs of a serial killer? I, last night, did a little research and I saw a title that immediately caught my eye. We all heard of the term psychopath, right? But not all serial killers are psychopaths. But did you know 1 out of 150 people are psychopaths? A little scary to me. So imagine how populous a city is, right? Let's just say if you lived in a city with more than, let's say, 10,000 people, right? 1 out of 150 is a psychopath. And what makes them psychopaths, right? What makes a serial killer? So many questions, so many studies are being done. Some believe it comes from troubling homes. Some people believe that serial killers have issues with women because it's said maybe they were abandoned by their mother. Maybe their mother weren't good mothers. Maybe they just grew up in a violent home. Maybe they were orphaned out on the street. There's no real concrete way to say, oh, because of these circumstances, this person is going to grow up to be a serial killer. Because as we all know, there are plenty of people out in the world who came from bad homes, who came from bad situations, but they didn't turn out to be psychopaths, nor did they murder, nor did they become a serial killer. They became a productive member of society. So what sets serial killers apart? It is said that the brain of a serial killer is different than an average person because it's said that we have 5 lobes in our brain, and to be able to function well as a person, we need all of them working. So in the clip that I saw, it said there are 2 areas in the brain that triggers a psychopath and or a serial killer. It has to do with the occipital lobe. And it has to do with a really tiny area called, I'm not even sure how you say this word, medulla something. Okay. It would definitely be in the description, the correct spelling. So they said that in a serial killer, these 2 areas of the brain aren't functioning correctly, right? So when I saw this clip, I literally sat back and I was like, well, that's interesting. How did that brain get that way? Because we will never completely understand the brain. The brain is always going to be a mystery because every person's brain is different, right? So when I heard that in a serial killer, these 2 areas of the brain don't work properly or they don't function the way they do, what caused that to happen, right? Because when you hear that something gone wrong in the body or when you hear something in your body is not functioning properly, you automatically think, oh, well, what caused this to happen? So when somebody tells me, oh, in a serial killer, these 2 areas in the brain don't function correctly, that's why they're a serial killer, I'm thinking to myself, well, if it doesn't function properly, do we know why? Do we know, is there anything that we can do if we have a child? What kind of environment should we raise our child in? What should we look for? What are the traits? What are the signs? And it causes so many questions that it sends a panic, right? Because when we hear about serial killers, we never hear about a serial killer after they murdered 1 woman, 2 women, 3 women, or 4. It's usually when the numbers are high, right? And that's when it makes national news. Because as sad as it is to say, somebody is murdered every single day, right? But sometimes their murder does not make national news, nor does it even make local news, as sad as that is to say. However, by the time we hear about a crime spree, it's already gotten out of control. Think about Ted Bundy, right? Use Ted Bundy as an example. By the time he made national news, he had murdered over 30 women. right? It's the same thing with the Green River Killer and such like that. They killed so many people, and then police detectives start working, then they realize the crimes are linked, and that's how they get the moniker serial killer. And with that, let's take our first break. And when we come back, we're going to learn about the traits of a serial killer.
Hi, this is Alexis with some bone-chilling news for Take 411. The most prolific serial killer in U.S. history has been named. The FBI said that an elderly convict has confessed to 93 murders of women across a period spanning 35 years. The convict admitted to the murders, mostly women, between the years of 1970 to 2005. His name is Stuart Little, and while currently incarcerated for the murders of three women, he confessed to a Texas Ranger. So far, the borough has linked him to 50 deaths, though it's believed all of the convict killer's confessions are credible. Back to the show.
Killers are always fascinating to us, and people who study serial killers are called profilers, right? People who commit crimes and are yet to be identified by police usually have a pattern or behaviors. So people who major in psychology, among other things, and get their degrees, they sometimes become profilers, where they study the crime, they study pictures of crime, and they predict or come up with a profile to help police identify who is committing these crimes. So after years of studies and studying over 150 serial killers, profilers realize that many of these serial killers have similar traits. And there are 12 of them that they seem to all have in common, right? And the first one is smooth talking but insecure. Ted Bundy is being used as an example. Ted Bundy was a charmer, the kind of guy that made it easy for people to be swept into his web. There's a quote that said, "I liked him immediately, but people like Ted can fool you completely," said Anne Rule, author of the best-selling Stranger Beside Me, about her experiences with Bundy, a man she considered a friend. She also said, "If I've been a cop, had all their psychology, but his mask was perfect. I said that long acquaintance can help you know someone, but you can never be really sure." Scary, right? Ted Bundy was good looking, right? So he would like to pretend to have a broken arm, or he would like to pretend to be a police officer and pull his victims over, right? And it's kind of scary when they are smooth talking but very insecure, right? Because if you really think about it, we all like to be charmed, right? We as women, we see a man, and let's just be honest, think about your younger days. When you have a guy who comes up to you and he's just so nervous, he's stuttering and such like that, chances are we overlook people like that, right? But if somebody who's good looking, they come in, they're able to smooth talk you, they just appear to be confident, we're attracted to guys like that. Are you attracted to guys who are smooth talking and confident, Tawanda?
Actually, Not so much, but I was about to tell you I wanted to say something because I understand what you're saying. And as you were talking about Ted Bundy, it just really reminded me of, you know, just seeing the different TV shows and stuff back in the day. It's like everyone has their con, their niche. And if I can say this and share this, Alexis, two things. Number one, something called the sweetheart scam. I know that everyone has heard of that before. And I remember seeing, you know, a few shows back in the day, they kind of talked about that. Have you ever heard of that before? The sweetheart scam?
No, I haven't. Please elaborate.
All right, because basically what you're saying, what some of these serial killers are doing, they're finding, you know, whatever their niche is to be able to get, you know, whether somebody's killing women of a certain race, of a certain ethnicity, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So the sweetheart scam is one of the most widely utilized modes of preying upon a victim for financial gain. It's a scheme that can be perpetrated online or in person. The scammer basically convinces their victim that they're in love with them and uses their emotions to basically milk all their money from them. That's just one thing, and it often happens to like seniors or vulnerable adults and so on and so forth. And my reason, I'm not saying someone who does a sweetheart scam is a serial killer. What I'm saying is it's a con. It's a person that's looking to prey upon someone else to get something. And the other thing I want to say, I never forget this. One of the shows that I love was CSI Miami. And there was an episode on CSI Miami years and years ago where these two young ladies, an African-American girl and a Caucasian girl, and that's not really relevant, but the point is they were really pretty girls, and they started this business. And this business, they basically, their clientele was high-end, and it was really athletes and rich men that could afford their service. And basically this is what they did. You know how people do matchmaking, right? Like, you just asked me a question about am I interested in, or basically if I would pay attention to someone if they had a certain talk or a certain look. Well, this is how it went, right? Let's say, for example, you and I, we're hanging out at the bar, and we see, you know what, let's say it's not you and I. We're at the bar together, right? But let's say our client comes up. He's John Doe. And he says, hey, that girl over there in the pink dress, I'm interested in her. So let's say him and I, we walk over there near where she's at. You're not with me, okay? You stay at one end. And him and I are talking, and then I say, oh, my gosh, girl, I love that dress. And she's like, thank you. And then he comes by, and I'm like, oh, hey, John, what's going on, da-da-da. And he was like, hey, Talanda, how you doing? And then I say, oh, my gosh, girl, this is John. And what's your name? Oh, my name is so-and-so. And I introduce them. And right then, her guard is down because what?
You introduced
Because
them.
Another female introduced them, right?
Yes.
That's what happens. With us as women, women are more prone to be comfortable with other women, even if it's a stranger, okay? And that was their business. They met complete strangers who were their clients that paid them. But they use that, and they use the trust of that woman because, hey, women to women. And what happened is when she introduced that guy to the girl that night, he raped her. And they end up finding him dead. And a couple of days later, this is on CSI, right? They found, you know, I said it was two girls, the African-American and the Caucasian. They end up finding the African-American girl dead too. And they end up saving the other partner before she got killed. What happened? The girl that got raped ended up finding out what happened. And she found out the guy was basically rich, that he did not know the girl, and that it was a service. So she felt violated, not just by him, but by this girl, because she took her to be another female, another sister. You understand what I'm saying? And that's my point. Sometimes people, when they're looking to manipulate, even a serial killer, they're going to use something. I don't know, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, Alexis. There was one serial killer that would take women, but he would take them because he would use either the broke arm scenario or the lost child scenario, or even serial killers have had accomplices with them, like girls that would go find mommy. You understand what I'm saying? It's crazy. It's crazy. But I'm sorry. Go ahead, girl. You just got me. My mind really is gone right now.
The second trait that serial killers have in common are grandiose. Remember how I mentioned Jack the Ripper? Jack the Ripper thought the world of himself. And so he would outsmart police so much so that he would send letters to the London officers. He would write, "Dear boss, I keep on hearing the police have caught me, but they won't fix me just yet. I have laughed when they look so clever and talk about being on the right track. That joke about leather apron gave me real fits. I am down on whores, and I shan't quit ripping them till I do get buckled. Grand work, the last job was, I gave that lady no time to squeal. How can they catch me now? I love my work and want to start again. You will still hear of me with my funny little game. I saved some of the proper red stuff in a ginger beer bottle over the last job to write with, but it went thick like glue, and I can't use it. Red ink is thick enough, I hope. Ha, ha. The next job I do, I shall clip the lady's ears off and send to the police officers. My knife, so nice and sharp. I want to get to work right away if I get a chance. Good luck." Can you believe the ego on Jack the Ripper? But he was never caught. So can you imagine how frustrating it was for police officers in London to get letters like that and never be able to identify who was committing all those crimes? And Jack the Ripper had a specific kind of woman he was going after. He only murdered prostitutes. And it was said his mother was a prostitute. That has something to do with his childhood, but it's a little creepy that he's going to write a letter talking about how hungry that knife is. Reading that gave me a little chill. I'm glad that Jack the Ripper was from a long time ago, because if Jack the Ripper was active now in the United States, I don't think I'll be leaving my home. They also have a lack of remorse or guilt. They have a lack of empathy. They are deceitful and manipulative. John Wayne Gacy refused to take responsibility for the 28 boys buried beneath his house, even though he also once said that clowns can get away with murder. Can you believe that somebody in your own neighborhood is able to fit in, right, able to live next door to you, and something happens to your son, you point a finger, and police don't take it seriously until after a few boys have gone missing. And do you really want to know how they caught him, Tawanda? They caught him because he buried the boys beneath the floor, and the odor was what got people. So can you believe that he is deceptive and manipulative and able to blend into society where people don't suspect, right? So he took a couple of boys, and a couple of parents made accusations. But the police didn't take it seriously enough until after a few boys have went missing. And he murdered 28 and had them under his floorboards. Isn't that a little creepy?
A lot of creepy. You know, one of the things Like I said, when you were talking to me about doing a series like this, it really concerned me because the reality is, you know, these are horrific crimes. You know, over the last 25, 30, 50, 100 years, thousands of people have died. People are still missing. And I guess the thing that kind of boggles my mind is the same thing that scares us to death, the same thing that you said, hey, I don't want to leave out of my house. This stuff, people are making millions from these things now. I mean, can you explain that to me? Like, the very same thing that horrifies us, we're talking about today, people have made movies about these things, and, I mean, it's horrific. It's like, it seems like putting fuel on the fire, and it's not doing that, but it kind of is because we're talking about this stuff. There's millions of people that have documentaries and films about serial killers, about the life. And a lot of people worship these things. The mail that a lot of people get, even in prison, that are serial killers is just unreal. So can you tell me, Alexis, like, it's like you go out and do this bad, but they still become infamous. So how does that happen?
I can try to answer that question after this quick break. Before the break, you wanted to know how serial killers are so infamous because there are movies made about them, documentaries, books, etc., right? Think about it this way. We as humans are a curious lot, right? And have you ever heard of the saying, curiosity killed the cat?
And satisfaction brought it back. Sure has.
Right. It's not that we care so much about the serial killer, him or herself, because, yes, there are women serial killers, right? We want to know the why of it, right? Because psychology is the study of behavior. And we like to think that behind everyone's behavior, there has to be a reason for it, right? There has to be a reason why they decided to murder that woman over there. Or there has to be something that triggered them where they were dormant for years and all of a sudden they went on a killing spree, right? Or there has to be a reason why they killed over a span of 35 years. There has to be a reason why they turned out this way. Oh, it must be the mother's fault. Oh, it must be the environment. Oh, it must have been their childhood. So many questions, right? And I hate to put it this way, but when we watch documentaries and we read books or articles, think about it this way. When you turn on the news, most people, when they get home, they turn on the news. They don't sit there and watch the news. The news is normally in the background for noise, right? But what pulls your ear that triggers something in your brain where you're definitely going to pay attention, right? For example, if I were to turn on the news, they talk about the politics. That's not something that I'm going to sit there and watch for hours. They mentioned some local charity doing a drive. It's not going to catch my attention. But if the anchor goes, up next, a series of crimes have been discovered, maybe the work of a serial killer, right? What did they say? Serial killer. What did they say? Crime.
the way they said it perks my ear up to trigger my brain. Oh, I want to know about this. So you start watching. It's the same thing as you go through Netflix. Netflix recently has dropped a lot of good documentaries on true crime, right? I believe Netflix just dropped a new movie about Ted Bundy with Zac Efron being Ted Bundy, right? They create the why. It's all about trailers. It's all about words. It's how they convey it that makes the average curious person want to watch, right? Because when you flip through Netflix, right, unless you know what you want to watch, you're previewing the trailers, right? So if the trailer is not that interesting, you flip to the next one. But if the trailer is good, where it shows like slow-moving music, slow-moving camera work, with somebody's voice going, so-and-so did this over a year of standing, and then you hear the camera cues to somebody, a family member say, I don't understand how this could happen, like he was such a loving person as a child, then this makes you curious, right? It makes you go, okay, so if everybody's saying that this person was such a loving child or this person came from a loving home, why did they end up murdering their whole family? Does that answer your question somewhat, Tawanda?
Well, I knew that I wanted to know what your opinion was about it, you know, and I really just wanted listeners to be able to think about that because, you know, a lot of times you can take someone, like you talk about serial kills and people getting caught, and like I know I see a lot of times in movies, the person gets caught or the police is coming to their house, and as soon as that happens, the media is also there. And what a lot of times the police try to do is keep them from being able to see the media. Because that's what people are looking for. People are looking to be famous, you know, whether it's good or whether it's bad. And you know, and I understand to each his own, but one thing that I'm mostly interested in, especially with working with people in prison for a very long time, just trying to understand the mindset, like you said, for the topic for the show today, of why this actually happens. Why does one day someone get up and go kill some people? You know, why does someone go shoot all those people in this church, you know, kill all these kids in this school? I saw something earlier in the news today about 6 kids that got shot. You know, why does this happen? Is there anything we can do to prevent it? And I'm pretty sure as we do these different sessions and talk about, you know, true crime, introduction to serial killers, people that's committed murders, regular people. You know, I've seen stuff on TV and people say, hey, he lived beside me, and I never knew. I don't believe that they really did it. It's like someone went crazy temporarily, and they just did something unspeakable. And I would love maybe to even talk to someone who's done that, that maybe, I don't want to say reformed, but I don't know. But what I did want to ask you, you were talking earlier about some characteristics. Can you kind of go over that again, the characteristics? And is there a difference between, and I'm not sure if you have that information today, between a female serial killer and a man, and a male serial killer? Is there a difference, and what are those characteristics again?
Oh, wow, that's a great question. No, I don't have the characteristics of a female. I will have it for our next show. But so far, I mentioned serial killers are smooth-talking but insecure. They are egocentric and grandiose. Remember that letter Jack the Ripper wrote? That was a little creepy. Lack of remorse or guilt. They have a lack of empathy. They are deceitful and manipulative. They have shallow emotions. They are very impulsive. They have poor behavior controls. They have a need for excitement. They have a lack of responsibility, early behavior problems, adult antisocial behavior, and that are the common traits that serial killers have among themselves. Well, see, here's the thing, right? I'm really curious because if these 12 traits or what serial killers have in common, what happens if the average person shares a trait or two? Does that mean that they are in the making of becoming a serial killer? Because as children, parents always worry if children are antisocial, right? Because children at a very young age want to play, right? So I was never really antisocial as a child because I always wanted to play. So I had no problem running up to somebody on the playground at school saying, hey, do you want to play with me? And if they say no, I go find somebody else who does want to play with me. So one of the characteristics said antisocial behavior as an adult. So what does that mean? What does that mean if someone is antisocial? Right? And if they're antisocial as an adult, what does that even mean? So it says antisocial means they don't like to be around people, right? They prefer to keep to themselves. But as an adult, antisocial, I don't really think is really a concern because some people just like to keep to themselves. What if they don't like hanging around people? What if they don't like being around people? Me, for instance, some people sometimes will say I am antisocial because I have my own little niche of people that I hang out with. I always am seen with my sister. If I'm around my family in large family gatherings, I always tend to be by my sister's side or around my cousin Christopher and stuff like that. So does that make me antisocial to the other people who are a part of that gathering and I don't bother to come say hi? So Tawanda, does that make you curious to think that if because a serial killer has a trait of being antisocial, if you start going out there and you notice these traits in certain people, would that make you worry that they could be a serial killer or they're the making of one?
That just that trait alone, no, because I think that a lot of people can be antisocial. There's times that I'm antisocial. And I'm very sane. I'm not trying to hurt no one. But I think that I have to look this up because I'm not really sure. First of all, like if I research 5, 10, 15, 20 serial killers, looking at them, seeing if they have that certain quote-unquote trait or chromosome or whatever, like what actually happened, that's what I want to find out. Like if let's say we're going to talk about Ted Bundy. Hey, let's talk about him. How was his life? How was his childhood? I really want to understand it. And I definitely want to find out, did you have any children? Because we know that they say that the traits of the parents become the tendencies of the children. So I would like to know, Alexis. I'm pretty sure the professionals have definitely done the research and sharing so much information with us. But I just don't understand it. I really want to understand it, and I want to find out. And hopefully, if not on this show, on a future one. Is there anything we can do to prevent some of these things? Is there any things we can look for? I'm not going to go around with a list that says, hey, hold up. Are you too confident? Are you antisocial? Are you trying to charm me? I think it's 12 characteristics of a serial killer. You got 5 of them. Bye. I'm not trying to do that, but I just wonder if there's something else we can do to be more effective.
See, all these questions you're asking will be answered on this special series of Take 411. But see, okay. Here's the thing. I don't think that we will ever be able to truly answer the why, right? Because think about it this way. Who knows why but the person committing the crime? Because you and I are on the outside looking in. So unless you have a serial killer who's going to definitely tell you the why of it all, how do you know if it's the truth or not? Right? Because they said Ted Bundy was a very good liar. Look at how many women he charmed Look at how many women he was able to fool by pretending to be a police officer. So the only person who really would ever know the why behind of it all is the killer, him or herself. Right? So think about it this way. When the only person who really knows the why is the person who is committing all these horrific crimes, it leaves it to everybody else to come up with theories, right? Or come up with the study of this particular person's life to see if they can find the why of it all, right? Why did Jack the Ripper kill only prostitutes? It was discovered that his mother was a prostitute. Is that the reason why he killed prostitutes? We would never know. But the answer is probably, right? Why did John Wayne Gacy kill those boys and bury them under his house? We would never know. What about Ted Bundy? Why did he attack all those women, kill them, and then come back to the bodies and have sex with them a week later? Why? We would never know the why of it. It's that mystery alone that attracts people to study this as a career, right? It attracts ordinary people to read up on. It attracts ordinary people to watch documentary because you're hoping to watch that documentary, and by the end of that documentary, you're going to understand the why of it all. Just remember the documentary I told you about, that man who killed his wife, who happened to be on social media, and he killed his own two daughters. By the end of that documentary, I still couldn't tell you why, because he had a mistress, and he wanted to start a new life. A lot of people were saying, if you had a mistress and you want to start a new life, why not get a divorce? Why did you have to kill your two beautiful little girls and your wife? And you're sitting there and you're asking the person who commit this horrific crime why. You think they're going to tell you? A lot of times it's my belief they don't even know why themselves. They don't even know why themselves. Right? Because think about it this way. You were saying?
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, in the end of the show, you actually talked about the definition of or what a serial killer actually. Can you go over that again? Like, if I kill one person or two people or 10 people, like whatever you were saying at the beginning, can you explain that again?
Okay. It's by FBI's definition of a serial killer, because there is a difference between a serial killer and a murderer. Right? A murderer is basically everybody who's ever killed anybody. But just because you killed someone does not make you a serial killer. I tried so hard online to find the profile of a serial killer and to find out what the criteria of a serial killer is, but it turned out to be a research paper, and I definitely will be reading up on that for you and for our fellow listeners to truly understand. But by FBI definition, a serial killer is someone who killed more than two people, but in separate instances. For example, if somebody were to walk into a place of business and open fire, but they killed 15 people, that does not make them a serial killer. That makes them a mass murderer and a murderer, but it does not make them a serial killer. However, if they killed 15 people on one day, and then 3 days later, they did the same thing, and they repeated that pattern until they're caught, that's what makes them a serial killer. You have to have killed more than two people, but in separate instances, like separate crimes, if you really want to think about it that way. That's what Ted Bundy is. That's what Judge Jack the Ripper is. That is what John Wayne Gacy is. That's what Stuart Little was. He murdered 93 women. He didn't murder all 93 women at once. He did it over 35 years. And he's currently in jail for the murder of three people. And there was, I read in the news that he was suspected, but the DNA evidence from two different states came back inconclusive, so they couldn't charge him. So imagine, he killed 93 women over the span 35 years, but only went to jail because he was finally convicted on three of them. That's scary. He is now named the most prolific serial killer in U.S. history because he has a body count of 93. The Bureau could only link him to 50, but they believe that his claim of 93 bodies is true. Isn't that a little creepy that someone could have killed 93 people over the span of 35 years. That's a little scary to me and a little disturbing. So before we close out today's show, let's go ahead and take another break. And after that, I will mention the four different types of serial killers. Mentioned that currently there are only four types of serial killers listed with many different subcategories under each. But for the sake of today's introductory show, I'm only going to mention the four types and not the subcategories. The first type of serial killer is a thrill seeker, right? These serial killers are the ones that see outsmarting the law as some sort of amusement. They enjoy attention from the media, and they also enjoy being pursued by the police. They can be distinguished from other serial killers because of the fact that they send messages to others, and they keep detailed records of their killings, right? So think about that. A serial killer who likes to top police, who loves media attention, and keeps a thorough record of their killings? That's a little creepy to me because I myself can't imagine taking someone else's life, but for the sake of the conversation, it's about serial killers, and they have no qualms about killing someone else. They enjoy the killing. Right? So to think that there are serial killers out there who do it for the media attention and they love attention, they want to be perceived by police. So can you imagine what's the why of it? So behavior of what's going through their mind that in order to get this attention, they need to commit mass murder. That's a little creepy. The next one is the mission-oriented serial killers. Serial killers are killers that feel that they are doing society a favor by ridding it of certain people. These can include young women, prostitutes, drug dealers, or homosexuals, people that feel that society could do without. These killers are genuinely not psychotic. Some see themselves as trying to change society. They have had a controlled crime scene, hence categorizing them as organized makes them much easier to track. Mission-oriented serial killers. Do we know of any who fit under that category? Off the top of my head, no. But have you heard of the show Dexter? It's about a cop who's also a serial killer, right? And Dexter's character would fall under mission oriented because he only kills bad criminals. But that's a mission for him. He only commits or he only kills people because they committed bad crimes. The third type of serial killer is the visionary serial killer. They are people that occasionally suffer from psychotic breaks from society. They sometimes believe they are another person or they are compelled to murder by higher entities such as God or the devil. In fact, the most two common subcategories for visionary serial killers are demon-mandated and God-mandated, right? I don't know of any serial killers that qualify as this off the top of my head, and I definitely want to look into that because that is interesting to me. And last but not least, it's power and control. Power and control serial killers enjoy their victims' terror, suffering, and screaming. These killers tend to be very organized, and they usually have a history of childhood abuse, which left them feeling powerless and inadequate as adults. Many of these killers also sexually abuse their victims, but they are not motivated by feelings of lust. To them, rape is simply another form of dominating the victim. So now that I've learned about these four types of serial killers, it's a little scary to me because I love to watch TV shows about crime and such like that for entertainment value, such as SVU. And SVU has been known to create shows right out of headlines and stuff like that. But to me, it's a little scary that a mission-oriented serial killer would be deemed as a serial killer because they killed more than two people in two separate incidences, but they have a specific type. So wouldn't you also call that a hate crime if you were to target a subgroup? That's a little scary to me, where the more you read, the more interested you are, because I am a very curious lot, and I just want to learn. But the more I read, the more I watch, the more creeped out I am. What about you, Tawanda?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But
man,
in conclusion, I am so thankful that we are doing this sub-series under Take 411 because, like Tawanda said, she works with incarcerated men and women, and not all of them are serial killers, okay? That is not the intention of this podcast. The intention is to understand the why behind of it, right? What causes an ordinary person to all of a sudden commit murder? What causes them to be impulsive where they go on a murdering spree? What is the difference between them and us? What is the difference between the man who lives across the street? One day you find out on the news he had 12 chains of women in his basement, and you never knew, right? So it's all about psychology. Psychology is the study of behavior, right? But for me, the more I read, the more questions I have. Because you're sitting here and thinking, who in their right mind would ever do that? Or who in their right mind would so many crimes back to back to back that's going to gain attention, right? But then again, that bears the question, are they in their right mind? Who gets to decide if a person is in their right mind or not? Who gets to decide if this person committed this heinous act of crimes because of a bad childhood? So if a child grew up in a turbulent home and had parenting issues or were abandoned or their parents happened to be drug dealers or prostitutes, does that mean the cycle is going to repeat with that child? Use myself as an example. My childhood was not perfect. My mom did abuse me as a child, but I didn't grow up to be a serial killer. So what makes me the exception and not Ted Bundy, for example, or Stuart Little, for example, or John Wayne Gacy, for example, right? I want to know what's the difference between an ordinary person and a serial killer. I also want to understand the why behind it all, like Tawanda. But we're going to have to dive deeper into this whole world. As fascinating as it is, the more you dive in deeper, the more creeped out you get. But the more creeped out you get, the more questions we have. So any final words, Tawanda?
Really, finally, I just want to, I'm looking forward to the journey with you, Alexis. I'm looking forward to researching, learning, and figuring this thing out. I'm looking forward to being able to share information with millions of people around the world, and I hope that we can find some type of good to come out of it. And most importantly, as we close out, be safe. Get to know people, and if you do know people, just really be safe. Don't take anything for granted, and let's just continue to send good vibes out into the world, and hopefully we can get the same in return.
On behalf of Take 411, I want to say thank you for tuning in and listening to our show. If we said something that terrified you or offended you, we definitely apologize. Our goal is to continue to share information with people across the globe about different things that's going on in the world. Please connect with us and stay tuned for the next show.